Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It's August 26th. I hope your summer has been pleasant. It's been a busy one for myself and many I've talked to. It is wrapping up. I know a lot of people have started running their kids back to school. Talked to one mom today. She says, I've dropped my daughter, my son off, and it took a box of Kleenex and a tow truck to pull me away. It was the hardest thing. It's a common emotion that goes on. So it's this week for some states, another next week, and a couple weeks. So all those returning to school, we think of you. And it's also returning to conference season. And we are excited to have Tony Moss, the founder and president of AmeriCatalyst and EuroCatalyst, joining us a little bit later on the broadcast. Anyone who's listened to Tony on the broadcast knows how thought-provoking and timely she is and her information. She has a conference called AmeriCatalyst coming up here in Austin, Texas. It's an invitational-only event, and we're going to be talking about some of the materials that she's going to be coming, that she's been discussing, and the guests. It is thought-provoking, and you, because you're a listener, getting just a little bit insight. So what we're going to be doing at that conference, talking about that. I would like to have everybody at this event. It's one of those events where you walk away from it just, your head almost hurts from all the information you get. You're both inspired, scared, and all the things above it. It provokes you to thinking, and that's what's so wonderful. Anyway, also a special thank you to all of our listeners who are listening for the first time, especially our first-time listeners. Thank you so much to our regular listeners. Again, we ran a recent report on listenership, and we're surprised to learn that we now are up over 283,000 downloads of our broadcast. That is amazing. We have thousands tuning in each and every week, and we appreciate it. Tell others about the broadcast. This has gotten to 283,000. That's all word of mouth, folks. Let you know about that. Conferences I'll be attending. A lot of people say, Dave, which conference are you going to be at? I'll be at the 5-Star Conference September 8th and 9th in Dallas. And if you want to learn more about that, go to www.5starconferences.com. Go out, check it out. We'll be there. Special thank you goes out to our sponsor, United Guarantee. Check out their new improved Rate Runner quote system. United Guarantee has worked closely with its customers to make that Rate Runner, say that real fast, more user-friendly. It requires you only to enter a few fields and features an intuitive screen design. Check it out. Also, United Guarantee has introduced a better way to safely submit your loan files online with the United Guarantee's MI Guide DOC Station. New features include an easy submission form, a line of sight to all loans related to the branch, a single system for new loans, trailing docs, and cover edge post-closing documents. You can learn more by going to their website, www.ugcorp.com, go over to the Lickin' on Lending website and click on the link on the upper right-hand corner. And we just say thank you to United Guarantee for being a sponsor. And again, congratulations on their 50th year anniversary. Joe Farr, let's get over and say see what's going on in the markets. Good to have you with us. Always appreciate it. We got the whole team, Joe. Got Alan back. Got Tony Garitano back. We got everybody on the show, so it's really good. So give us a rundown on the markets today. Prices are – your notes early said prices are up 10, 30 seconds. What's happening?
Yeah, they're up 8, 30 seconds now. They really jumped after a very weak durable orders report. Durable orders fell in July by 7.3%, which was about twice as much of a fall as people were anticipating. Most of that came in transportation orders, which is very volatile to begin with, but the weakness was pretty well throughout the report. But yeah, I was surprised to see prices jump. They jumped from down 2 to up 10 very soon after that announcement came out, and that's a little more than you would have expected, and I think it had a lot to do with the new home sales report that came out last Friday. And what I think is going on there, Dave, is new home sales were a big surprise, very disappointing new home sales in July. It was weaker than anyone expected, and coming off of an existing home sales report on Monday, which was very strong, I think people were surprised to see how weak it was. But what it did do is that it's starting to push people away from a September taper. The new home sales data it reflects data that is based on not closings but contracts, and these contracts were signed in July, which means they were probably based on July interest rates, and those were much higher than they have been, and the drop in the new home sales data is reflective of higher rates. Rates are about 1 3/8 higher than where they started in May, and quite frankly, May information would have been the data that much of the existing home sales were predicated on. Rates were in existence in May were contributing to the closings in July. So this the July new home sales data really was not good at all, and its only benefit is that it's causing the market to reflect that September taper is not as much of a lot.
Yeah.
And then,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue on. Well, I've got so many thoughts about that particular day. I'm just in and out. I've interrupted you. You know what's so huge about that is new home sales. When we have new home sales, new home sales growth, builders stop building. That just has an immediate ripple effect right on back through the economy. So interest rates are a big factor on that.
And there have been a lot of Fed members, you know, in the minutes that came out during the week described Fed members that were concerned about just this, about what impact higher rates might have on housing, what impact that higher rates and lower housing activity would have on the economy. And so to actually see this come out has really caused people to take a little shift, and that contributed to the oversized reaction this morning to the durable orders report. And quite frankly, we're not going to know much until next week, first Friday of September, when the non-farm payrolls and unemployment reports come out. I believe that what has happened with the new home sales data and the thought of potential weakness is that it's not going to take as bad a jobs report, first Friday of September, for the Fed to not begin the taper. I think before this new shift had taken place, it would have taken something in the 120 range for jobs,
right,
where there'd be much of a question. But now I think that number's raised. I think it's more like 150 maybe would be the number at which the Fed's saying, hey, maybe we don't need to start this right away. We're not as strong as we thought. So next week's data is going to be so important. This week, there's not a lot going on. This week, we have just revisions to GDP, second quarter GDP, but that's kind of history. And then we have a little inflation data, but inflation has been so negligible that more likely the question is it going to be too low rather than too high? So not so much more going on this week. Everything's going to be focused on the jobs report in the following week, and it's all going to, everything's going to be analyzed based on how it might impact the Fed's taper program.
Interesting, for sure. So a lot of stuff's going on out there, and folks, I mean, one thing was that what we can be guaranteed is more uncertainty, and when we hear anything in a world and environment of uncertainty, you need a service like MBS Quoteline just to stay on top of it and not be in a place where you are going in a reactive mode. At least you can react with it, be in the front side of the reaction, advising clients. By the way, I'm seeing how many people have dialed in during your report. It is really encouraging to see all our listeners that have dialed in. Thank you so much, listeners. Be sure to stay tuned all the way through the broadcast. For those that just joined the broadcast, we've got Tony Moss of AmeriCatalyst, your catalyst, on a little bit later in the broadcast. And we've got Paul Mallow coming up right after the ad break. But first, another thank you to Joe Farfer and all the folks at MBS Quoteline for bringing us this information. If you want to get signed up with MBS Quoteline, stay tuned with this list. This ad, and you'll learn how to do exactly that. Thank you, Joe. Looking forward to having you on a little bit later in the broadcast.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility over the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you back with us. We've got Paul Mallow. He returned from vacation. His vacation was so good last time he forgot to dial into the broadcast. Paul, it's good to have you dialed in this week. And I've got up on my screen the IMF News, www.imfnews.com. Seeing some great stories. Share some of this with the what's in the headlines and on your radar this morning.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for having me. And yes, the vacation was so good I forgot about last Monday, so that's embarrassing. But anyway, we had, you know, it usually things slow down a little in the news business in the summer, but, you know, the last couple of years it hasn't been the case. You know, we crunched some numbers on FHA lending, and we discovered that FHA FICOs are at a four-year low, which it's not a big dip. It's roughly 693 compared to last couple years at 700. But it's interesting. You know, we're starting to see signs out there that some lenders might be loosening credit standards, but ever so slightly.
Yeah.
One story that
yeah,
we've been paying attention to is there's a couple credit unions in the D.C. area, the largest of which is Navy Federal, which is really a national lender. I think they're a top 30 player in mortgages. You know, they're making a no down payment mortgage, and they're putting it in portfolio. So, and they're none too worried about the credit risk on it. So they've been doing a pretty good business in that product. And there's another, there's a couple other credit unions looking at doing the same. One here, NASA Federal is also doing that. So that's interesting. But, you know, meanwhile, you know, there's a lot of lenders that are nervous. We all saw the big layoff last week at Wells Fargo. 2,300 heads were cut. We broke a story on Friday about another bank-owned lender, Florida Capital, trimming heads. They closed the wholesale office. They opened up 90 days ago in Pennsylvania. They just shut it. You know, there's a lot of nervous people out there, and they're, you know, they're looking. The 10-year hit 2.9 briefly last week, I think on Friday morning. You know, there's a lot of talk about being really too quiet out there for certain lenders. You know, purchase business
yeah.
is picking up nicely, but we all know what the you guys were talking about earlier. The new home sales numbers were none too great or weaker than expected. So, you know, there's a lot of nervous people out there. We have a guy named John Dario who we've written about quite a bit. He's trying to raise money to start a subprime or a non-prime lending firm. He just clipped back his capital raise goal to $175 million. That story's on imfnews.com today. Dan Pearl's out there. He raised $200 million for non-prime lending a few months ago.
I know it.
And I spoke recently. He's doing a pretty good business in applications, he told me last week, so that's good. There's
yeah.
a new report out on the future G-fee hikes. That's on www.imfnews.com. Mountain View's out there still churning out portfolio, MSR portfolios for sale. I know Phoenix is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phoenix is active, as always. IMA is out there. Mountain View, of course, I mentioned. There's a few other firms. I know Prestwick's out there with some bulk deals. So, you know, there's plenty going on out there. A new report from FHA to Congress, which basically says their claims are down. So if people were thinking for some bad news on FHA in the fall, looks like there won't be any. You know, so there's plenty of news out there. So, you know, there's nothing Nothing horrendously bad, but you know, there's a lot of fear out there as far as rates and what it's going to do to applications. That seems to be one of the stories.
The overriding.
Overriding themes, fear about future business. Everyone says, you know, home sales are good, they're picking up, but it's not enough to replace the declining refis.
Those that position themselves, Paul, for this shift are doing okay. No one's doing phenomenally great compared to the great days of when all the refis dance were there. But those that did not prepare are definitely, the heads are being lobbed. So there's people going in the tragedy of seeing people get ousted out of jobs that they had because of downturn and a lack of preparation. It's just one of those things. Great resource of great information throughout the week, folks. It's a daily blog. You update it every single day. And, Paul, I just say thank you so much for taking time and joining us each week and giving us update on what we should be focusing on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha, folks. www.imfnews.com. Be sure to say hi to Guy Sakala and the team there. Appreciate you tuning in. Have a great week, Paul. You bet. Now, let's jump over to Alice Alvey. She was on her wedding anniversary vacation. It was so good. We talked a little bit about that, Alice. Just so good. But you did a great job giving us a recorded update. But now we got you live. So good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So was fishing good? Your husband loves fishing.
We did have fun fishing. You didn't talk about that behind my back last week, did you?
just a little bit. Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to last week's show yet. No, we had a great time. We had lots of fun. You know, it's great to just be outside and on the water, and that was a lot of fun on Seneca Lake in New York. So.
Yes. Well, good to have
anyway,
you.
Anyway, but a lot's gone on.
FDIC.
Even though Congress isn't in session until September 9th, what I usually like to do during this window here is focus on a few additional things we need to be paying attention to, like I said in last week's report. Now, we do know that the FDIC has released its agenda for the QRM proposal. So this is on the news wires as well, that this is supposed to be coming out this week. Now, if you remember correctly, the QRM is coming from the regulators. This does not come out of the CFPB. So that's why it's FDIC is getting ready to roll this out. For those of you who are going, what was QRM again? What parts were in that one?
How could you forget?
I got the QM. The QM was all about my customer's ability to repay, right, and having that kind of qualifying distinction. In the QRM were more layers of criteria. QRM went into what should the credit report look like, loan to value, different ratio limitations, you know, even talking about a payment ratio, loss mitigation steps that would have to be taken within servicing within 90 days, which then subsequently triggers new disclosure requirements. And, of course, the main one being the 5% or whatever the number will be risk retention component if my loan doesn't meet this criteria. Now, we've worked really hard in the industry for well over a year to get them to really understand that this definition of QRM really should just align with what we have today, that we just stay very focused on, you know, using the QM definition and then dovetail off of that with trying to understand all the complexity in the secondary market. If we say, how does some entity retain a percentage of the risk, and can that be a shared risk? You know, we talked about vertical risk, horizontal risk. There was L-shaped risk. Who knows what other kind of risk balancing acts will get proposed. But that's why, you know, so today I'm not going to get into all of what we know it was. It's just a refresher that there were a lot of moving parts, so we're very anxious to see what the final verdict is going to be when it comes out. You know, a lot of folks have said we don't anticipate, I mean, this is months ago, that we'll get some type of LTV restriction. But, you know, I would say we have to watch for that. Right now, a QM does not have an LTV restriction, but a QRM may come out with some kind of score or LTV ranges. We'll wait and see, and we'll be sure to give you the details as soon as we can read it. Heck, the first version was 95 pages, right? Do you think this next one's going to be? Let's just place bets on that. How many pages do you think it's going to be?
What was that one that came out? Thousands of pages? So, I mean, 95 seems very, very tame and doable to read.
Right. That seems like a short read now, doesn't it? So,
oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I know. So the
now, you said
I want to make
QRMs. a QRM is for FDIC, I mean, for the regulated institutions, and it's not for the independent mortgage bankers. Did I hear you correctly on that?
No, no. It's the regulators that are the ones that have to pull this together, right? So,
okay.
They're, so
thank
it's,
you for
that's
the clarification.
That's why it's coming out of the FDIC. CFPB is responsible, was responsible for implementing QM, but
yes.
The other banking regulators, you know, HUD, SEC, FDIC, and FIFA are the ones responsible responsible for issuing this one, right? So see,
I
it's
heard
coming
FDIC
from a different
and
group.
I thought. Yeah, I heard FDIC, and I was just thinking it was only you might have said that, so I want a clarification. Good, just in case anyone else here heard what I may have heard there. So good.
Yeah.
And then as far as the mortgagee letters, there's been a couple updates there, I understand.
Yeah, so FHA came out with some mortgagee letters August 15th, and I think, you know, we talk about rates going up and, you know, then at the same time, Paul mentioning that there might be just an ever bit of a tad of a loosening, and these mortgagee letters play into that indication very much so because, you know, Dave, you've been doing this longer than I have, not to point out age or
not
anything,
by much.
But I started in the early 80s.
It's a lot longer than that, sir.
Well, I remember picking up every file and going, oh, we had a bankruptcy. Oh, it was Detroit auto industry. Oh, I don't even need a credit explanation. I can write it off to an economic event. Well, FHA is bringing back the economic event as something to work with in a loan file. Folks have tried to do this in 07, 08, 09, and 10, and I kept saying, well, it's too soon. You don't have a recovery. You, in order to say something was extenuating, you have to be past it and show recovery. So it's good to see
right.
FHA feels we're kind of there. It will definitely be that you've got some extra hoops to jump through. It's a long mortgagee letter. FHA's held a couple of training sessions on it. I'm hoping they'll hold some additional ones, and I recommend everybody attend those. But it does require home buyer counseling. It's a manually underwritten loan. So, you know, if you say, what should I be doing now that refis have dropped, I need to get really good at understanding how to manually underwrite FHA refer loans and fit into some of these new components in the mortgagee letters that just came out. So they've clarified collections and judgments to make things a little easier, but disputed accounts now have a manual downgrade that you have to make sure you're comfortable with. So anyway, some good news in that. I think if you're looking for channels, is manual underwriting still works if your people are educated, and I'm actually conducting a training session on that at the MBA's Risk Analysis Conference. I open the conference with a one-day training session on risk analysis for conventional and FHA and VA lending. So, if
what
you're
are the dates
in
of that,
area,
Alice?
That'll be on September 10th. So the conference runs from the 10th and the 11th, and you should all come on out. Anyone who's looking at today's market, you say, my underwriters have to be really good because we have to be able to get comfortable with more loans closing. It would be a great place to send your underwriters and risk analysis teams.
Good stuff, Alice. So much information.
Thank you.
Even on recess, you keep us updated. It's good to have you back in the saddle and on the microphone and on the phone. Appreciate it so much. Folks, we're going to have Tony Garitano back right after the break, so stay tuned. Look forward to it, and be sure to tell others about it. Remember, you got two Tonys. It's the Tony Awards today. We've got Tony Moss a little bit later on the broadcast as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everyone. And we've got Tony Garitano with us. Tony, good to have you back from your extended vacations and absence, but we appreciate it. And our listeners, most of all, appreciate you being here. Appreciate it, Tony. I want to make sure you're
with us.
Thank
you for having me.
That's good to have you back. There's so much news going on about mergers and acquisitions in the technology space. So my two questions for you are down those lines. What is the industry significance, Tony, of the Accenture acquisition of Mortgage Cadence? Anything? Should we be reading something into this that's beyond? I mean, we had you talked about the Interlink and the whole deal that's going on at Harlan. So what's going on?
Well, I think Accenture is kind of catching up to the other BPO offerings. I mean, if you think about it, Lender Live and IBM, to name a few, and ISGN as well, WePro, they all have core loan origination systems that they own,
right,
as well as offering outside BPO and consulting services that in some cases pushes their clients onto another LOS. But Accenture has never had an LOS that they own. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, they're getting up to speed with some of their competitors that have some owned LOS technology as well as knowledge about other LOSs as well.
That is interesting that they're out there. I was just back in their offices back in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago, and fascinating. They're very excited about the acquisition. Well, so what do all of these mortgage technology acquisitions, say that fast, mean in terms of their larger industry significance? Does this put Mortgage Cadence on another, you know, at another platform? How does it just overall affect the industry?
I think it's good for Mortgage Cadence. Accenture is a huge, you know, global company. They've got lots of money. They've got lots of resources. And I think that it's going to be great for Mortgage Cadence going forward. I think in terms of the industry significance, it really means to me that the LOS as a standalone application is becoming less significant. I think that the LOS has to be paired with other services or integrations in order to be successful going forward. I think, you know, you've seen Ellie Mae acquire pricing engines and compliance engines. You've seen Calyx acquire a pricing engine. You've seen Mortgage Builder acquire a pricing engine, a CRM, and a servicing system. So I think that the LOSs are realizing that they still are the system of record, but they have to offer more value.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I think there's no question that more value, more, you know, having. Are we going back to the one vendor carry does all? I mean, tries to be end all be all. I mean, that hasn't worked in the past. Are we in a different environment now, Tony? You think?
I think that that's always been what lenders want, but to your point, it's never really been successful. you know, my guess is that I'm not of the notion that it will be successful in the future either, but I do think that more and more companies are trying to get there. So it's one of those goals that remains a goal that I think people are, you know, trying to get closer to. And these acquisitions point to that, Dave. I mean, everybody wants to be end-to-end.
Yep, I think they want to be. From a bank or a mortgage company standpoint, it certainly makes a lot more sense. I'd rather make one phone call than four and then try to get them all talking together. So I get it as to why it is. So, you know, but what's so good is you come here and help us sort through this each and every week. That is when you're not on vacation. So I think I've harassed you enough about your vacations. But it's good to have you back, Tony Garantano. Folks,
it's
if you want to learn
back.
More. Good. Get out, Road. Tony's got a great publication, Progress in Lending. Go check it out, www.progressinlending.com. Oh, you can reach him at 203-529-3131 or tony@progressinlending.com, Tony with a Y. Tony, good to have you back. Appreciate it so much. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, Dave.
You bet. Profit Doctor, always love your perspective on what Tony says. It's consolidation, but also I know you're excited as I am to have Tony Moss on right after your segment, and we'll be coming up to that next. But, you know, what's your thoughts today, Prophet Doctor? Also known as Andy Shell, amongst your family and friends.
Yes, exactly. Well, first off, you know, Tony was talking about, you guys were talking about the acquisition by Accenture of Mortgage Cadence and how everybody wants to be end-to-end. You know, I got into business a little bit before Alice and a little bit after you in 78, so it's been a long time. And there's always been this push in technology to have a comprehensive solution, and yet we've never had a comprehensive solution. And one of the reasons we haven't is because we have had one. It's just that the dynamics of the environment, and there's always the next new thing, and when you have innovative technologists, you know, entrepreneurial technologists who are out there innovating new ways of doing things, they keep coming up with the next thing, the pricing engines, the Optima Blues. You know, Larry and Yvonne started over at Sullivan and launched Optima Blue and became the Cadillac of the industry. Well, it wasn't. It didn't exist at one point, and all of a sudden it was there. And so everybody wanted to be like that, so they started building all these interfaces. And so that keeps happening over and over and over. And so just when you do have a comprehensive system, and there are systems out there that are comprehensive, it's just that they're not the best elements of them are solid and work great, but there are elements of them that aren't the best anymore because innovation brought a new idea that now works, you know, meets the needs of the industry better. That doesn't mean that you can't have an Indian today. It's just be prepared that you're not going to have the bright, new, shiny thing always. It's like your iPhone apps. There's always something new. And so you're not always going to have the newest, but you will have something that works. And I've noticed this trend among commercial banks and mortgage banks. Commercial bankers tend to be much more technology ROI-focused than mortgage bankers. Mortgage bankers tend to want the next new thing always right now. Commercial bankers want something that works, that meets the needs of the clients, meets the needs of the bank, also within the confines of a technology ROI. And to that point, I and one of our MBS associates is going to be speaking at the MBA conference on financial management about technology ROI. So that's coming up in November. So this is a hot topic. It's always interesting, and it's always something new and innovative in technology. But when you talk about ROI, and I know Tony's coming on soon, and Tony, I guess, kind of really cut her teeth in the servicing world, and now her AmeriCatalyst conference is expanding into just kind of global economics. It's fascinating to listen to, and I'll make a couple comments about that here in a minute. But on servicing, I want to make a couple real quick points. Servicing ROI, people are calling us almost every day about retaining servicing, releasing servicing, retaining servicing with a subservicer, what should we do? And what we need to understand is that it's all about the technology, it's all about the servicing ROI. And just to give you a quick reference point, I know of several large servicers, just looked at one recently, it was an $8 billion servicer, that 2 years ago was able to hit the 1,000 loans per employee target. That was actually it was 987 loans per employee. So that's where you want to be. And now, because of regulatory compliance issues, because of foreclosure management, lost mitt oversight, the regulators coming in, they've had to triple their loss mitigation collections area. And this is nationally that this is happening. This one company in particular is now dropped in their efficiencies. And on a servicing platform, they're now at 382 loans per employee, which is bad. They've more than dropped two-thirds in efficiency because of regulatory compliance issues. So what does that do to the servicing ROI? Well, first off, you need to remember that rules of thumbs don't always work. It's a dynamic environment. Rule of thumbs get smashed. Don't want to have your thumbs smashed. Don't use rule of thumbs. Do fresh analysis with fresh metrics to understand these businesses. And, you know, it's a new world. There's new dynamics. What you think you see is not what it really is. You got to look again. And that's like the Rorschach. That's like the ink dot test, you know, where you look at the ink dots and you think it's a bug or boobs or it's a kitty. And it turns out it's just a bunch of ink dots. But that's part of what Tony's going to be talking about is the Rorschach test. And it's not what you think it is. And Tony's conference is like it's like being in graduate school where you've got great minds, bright minds, very well-experienced, knowledgeable people who are very smart, engaged in a dynamic discussion about relevant topics that everybody cares about, like housing and economics and global transition and global finance and just all these really interesting things. And what's really cool about it, Dave, I know you've been there, is that you sit at the table and there'll be a panel of speakers up at the front, including Dave Licken speaking live from America Catalyst coming up soon in Austin, Texas. But you can sit there and you can sit at the table and you type in this computer screen that's there on the table and you can type in questions. You can listen to the discussion and the speakers all have these great big monitors in front of them and so they're watching the dialogue of questions coming from the audience. So because it's interactive, they have to limit the number of people that can attend because otherwise you'd never be able to hit all the topics. So it's a limited audience, and it's amazing minds, and it's great topics, and it's interactive, it's dynamic. It's an amazing conference to attend. That's Tony's going to talk about that more here coming up, I guess, soon, Dave, right? Next?
Right next. Yes, absolutely. Good stuff. So I just looked up the definition of Rorschach, and it's just really interesting. So we'll get that up later. Great, Prophet Doctor, appreciate it. Great information, and
thank
I
you.
Want to tell everybody we keep talking about vendor validation. That's a hot top topic. Maybe we can get you to talk about that next week or the week after here coming up. In fact, we've got you and Alice going to do a whole segment on it. I think that's the 9th of September. We have you scheduled for that broadcast. Going to get into it in a real big way. So.
Well, we can talk about it every show from here on out because it's going to be affecting everybody. It's the CFPB watch list, and if you're not doing this right, you're gonna get whacked. And we don't want anybody listening to Licking on Lending to ever be surprised.
Listeners or clients or anybody, it's just one of those things. Thank you so much, Prophet Doctor. Can't wait to get Tony Moss up here in just a minute. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. We've got as our special guest a dear, dear friend of mine and someone that I don't know how to describe someone like Tony. When you're in her presence, she just causes you to think. The Prophet Doctor's always done that. Alice and Joe do that. I like surrounding myself with critical thinkers and those that just challenge me out of my comfort zone. And I'll tell you, our next guest is with us, Tony Moss. And Tony, it's good to have you on the broadcast. I want to make sure all our technology is working. We got you here with us.
I'm here.
You're here. Oh,
I'm here.
So excited. So I've got up on the screen
every year.
Every year.
Dave, every year when I come on this show, I get incredibly anxious because I realize that means that the event is very close by.
Yes, I know. Well, yeah, folks, you're showing me. She's showing me all the phone calls she has to make between now and the conference. I can't believe you took time out to be with us, Tony, but it is really an honor to have you here. And I really am excited. If I could wish one thing for all our listeners, is that they could find a way to show up at this event. It's because it's that kind of dynamic event that just causes your brain cells to wake up. And dear God, with all that's going on in the country and the world, economically, socially, politically, we have got to have some wake-up calls made. So your conference is coming up, and it's in Austin, September 29th through October 1st. And what
October
you have
– October 2nd.
October 2nd. October
2nd.
I'm sorry, 22nd. That would be a great conference if we go that long, but I think we all got to go back to work. So you come through the 2nd. So let's talk a little bit about that. And the theme of it is Rorschach. So the Rorschach the test is a projective test that using bilaterally symmetrical ink blots, subject state what they can see in the ink blot. So in other words, that whole thing is with all the data points out there, what are you seeing? Is that really the gist of what you're trying to do, is help us see more clearly at this conference? Do we have it right?
Yeah, I was going to theme the event Turning Point. And for me in particular, the theme of the event every year is really trying to capture what's the state of globalization today and what's the impact on us. And so last year we talked about the entanglement where we're all inextricably wed to each other and the success and failure of our financial institutions and nations. And so I was going to call the event Turning Point because everybody says, hey, when are you going to do something really positive? Look at all these green shoots in the market. Look, it's improving. So I spent 4 months researching the market, and I just wasn't convinced that we are at a turning point. I think, you know, in some ways one could argue that we are, in that the regulation is relatively set. We kind of know where the market is at the moment. But the more people I talk to, the more I realized they were projecting their biases onto what they wanted to see. So I thought, well, shoot, you know, the market right now is a Rorschach. So here you have it.
Well, that's what the name of the conference is, folks. And by the way, Tony, you may have your speakers on your computer because we're hearing a little echo when you came on. Might be that. Not sure what we got the echo, but it's just a little bit of feedback on it. It's not feedback. It's a little echo. So want to hear everyone to rest in every word you got there. So just double check that if you could. So we've got the event come up. And let's talk about a little bit about some of the speakers that you have. I mean, you always – Kyle Bass is coming back. And last year – wasn't it last year that you ran his video of this? And was it 4 million hits or some ridiculous amount?
Well, it was a ridiculous amount in a very condensed period of time, but it wasn't that many hits. It was around 320,000 within a three-week period. And what was unique about it is that people, on average, for an hour-long video, stayed for 48 minutes.
Wow. So not only they listen to the whole thing, it's that kind of captivating thing. By the way, so people can go back. So we mentioned it. How can people go catch that video from that event? Is it still out there?
Yeah, we have the AmeriCatalyst channel on YouTube. And if you just Google Kyle Bass, AmeriCatalyst, you'll see it. But actually, Kyle is taking a break this year. He's been here 4 years in a row. And he'll be back next year. So there are a couple of people that we're contemplating bringing in. It'll certainly be one of the two, both of whom are pretty spectacular. But we typically don't do keynotes at this event because every panel is more or less a keynote panel. And
in
every
and of itself,
person
that's true.
On that panel really are the leaders of their sector. So what becomes interesting is to put, you know, the leading service or the leading originator, a GSE, an academic, someone from the International Monetary Fund, on the same panel. So they're all taking a different perspective on a particular topic, which fundamentally alters the way that you see that topic. And what we're interested in is having a diversity of opinions and really changing the way people view the industry. And AmeriCatalyst is a market positioning firm. And we produce this event to reposition the entire industry. So that's kind of the whole point of it. And we also want this event to be a complete experience for people, not just a conference that you passively attend, but to really alter, to a certain extent, who you are and what you see. And what's the who you are part is the incredible humility of everybody when they get there. Because
well,
you have
first
a lot of egos.
Yeah. I can't believe you fit that many fit that many egos in one room, Tony. But the egos check at the door when you're standing around your peers like that and you're listening to this dialogue. It is just stunning to really capture what's going on there. So Andy gave you a little bit of a feedback. I mean, a good description at the beginning of the broadcast. He sat there and he said, I said, you've got to come to this event. And he walked out and says, this is the best event. It's beyond the highest level of graduate school. So, Andy, I know you know you have some thoughts on this as we get into Rorschach and look at what's out there.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your analysis. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, one quick point. If you look at the, if you go to the website, go to AmeriCatalyst.com, program 13, and you get to go to AmeriCatalyst.com, and then you get to the program for 2013. You look at the topics and how they're presented about what's to be discussed. You know, Rorschach is a state of the U.S. housing, U.S. mortgage market. And one of them I think is really funny is called Atlas Mugged, Where Has Regulation Gone Too Far? And what's just so insightful about this is you got to understand Atlas Mugged really is relating to Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is one of the Ayn Rand, and Ayn Rand is a hardcore individual who believes in objectivism. She's a Russian, she's from Russia, lives in the U.S., died years ago, wrote a couple books, Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged. Brilliant, brilliant mind, brilliant woman. And but you have to, I mean, there's so much stuff below the surface in this thing. It's just you gotta that's why I call it graduate school, because it starts at, you know, a lot, and then you get here and they start there and go forward. It's just, it's an amazing conference.
Well, a lot of the titles are either double entendres or there's a very, very snarky message behind it.
<That's> exactly.
So the more you know, the more you catch the references, and between the music that we play for the sessions and the titles themselves, you'll hear half the audience kind of chuckle, and then the other half of the audience will just give out a belly laugh because they got it. So Atlas Mugged is a loaded one for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So let's get in. Danny, you've got the schedule up there. Let's get into some of the topics, some of the things that we're going to be hearing about, Tony. So,
Do you want me to cycle through?
Yeah, if you would, please.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say about the event is that it's very handmade. So, you know, and I think it's very difficult in this day and age to hand make an event. So what I'm doing to a certain extent is, from an editorial perspective, I'm saying this is what I see in the market. This is what I think the big trends are. This is where I think they're going. And please disagree with me. So
yes.
I have panelists, literally, you know, what do you see? And do you think that the way that I wrote the session really does capture what's going on? And some people will say, yes, and you forgot this. And other people will say, no, I totally disagree. And, you know, and there you have it. You know, then the fight starts. So this year, with that theme, Rorschach, the very first session is Present Shock and the Long Now. And I'm going to talk about really where we are as individuals and how we're coping with this incredible shock of living in the present all the time and making quick decisions on very little inputs of information. So if you think about Twitter or blogs, we really kind of have this narrative collapse where we don't follow stories any longer. We don't really pay attention to,
that's so true,
here's what happened before, here's what's happening now, and this is what's going to happen next, which then leads into the loss of talking about the future. You just don't hear that very often. And that's profound for an industry that ultimately issues products 30 years into the future. And underlying the event this year, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked to find out that regulators are seriously questioning the future of the 30-year fixed mortgage. One of the things that I'm going to bring up is when we're looking at GSE reform and really profound fundamental market reform, this is an industry that was really shaped in the 1940s. And then on the finance side in the 1970s. So, you know, in a globalized world, the greatest change is the pace of change. And my question is, oh, my God, is this industry fundamentally obsolete? And
Wow. From
that perspective, how are we going to reshape it? Because I can see a lot of arguments to say, yes, it is obsolete. So there's the drama behind it. So we go from the present shock and the long now and how we need long-term thinking, and then we go into the unraveling, which is the state of the world, and that's really where we're going to talk about some contemporary intellectual issues, including the failure of economics and how theory and fundamental assumptions about financial issues are changing, the evolving role and use of game theory in anticipating economic shifts and investment returns, why too big to fail still matters, and the devastating impact of escalating inequality and student debt on the future U.S. housing market.
Oh, yes.
So I don't think a lot of people realize that with the erosion of the middle class, we aren't going to have a housing market. And, you know, inevitably...
At least as we knew it, as we've known it, for sure.
Yeah, and it's tough with this event, and that's part of the reason there's no media participation, because a lot of people are talking quickly off the top of their heads, and they get gut reactions to topics maybe they haven't thought about before. But inevitably, we step in it. You can't avoid politics, and you can't avoid the controversial issues. So so that becomes very, very interesting. And, of course, everybody handles it with dignity and grace. But occasionally, you know, the F-bomb gets dropped. Anyway, so we go from the unraveling into Rorschach, which is now we're going to go from the global perspective to here's what's happening in the U.S. housing finance market. And the unraveling has already set the stage because, of course, what happens on a global economic basis impacts the U.S. dramatically. And by the way, China has this massive bubble, and China single-handedly has been financing almost 52% of the U.S. market. A lot of people don't realize that. So now when we look at the state of the market, we're going to go through all of the statistics and fundamentals that impact credit and collateral, like house prices and mortgage performance and foreclosure inventory and how agency and non-agency RMBS performance is doing, origination volumes, the progress of current government programs. So the title of that session, Rorschach, is really an observation about the remarkable diversity of opinion and analysis. So, and this has Doug Duncan from Fannie Mae, Mark Fleming from CoreLogic, Lori Goodman from Amherst, Kyle Lundstedt from LPS, Paul Miller, the top bank analyst, and Christopher Whalen. From Rorschach, we go into a session that I call Blowback, and it's about mortgage origination, funding, and the constriction of credit. And, of course, you know, the plot spoiler, the constriction of credit. I think everybody knows that's coming. But I started the session description of to mortgage originators January 10th, 2014 is a date as feared as the end of the Mayan calendar. And so we're going to talk about regulation, origination, non-QM lending, all of the issues one would expect. But we're also going to talk about the FHFA's initiative to merge Fannie and Freddie, their securitization activities only, into a single securitization platform and the impact of that. I don't think that people realize when y'all were talking about technology earlier, I don't think people realize that that could potentially be the primary capital markets shared utility in the market. So I think that's profound. Then from there we're going to go into If I Had a Hammer, talking about U.S. housing market reform. And on that section, it's hosted by Dave Stevens, of course of the MBA, and Ted Tozer, who's the president of Jenny May. That alone is quite interesting. Ted's in a position to ask questions but not answer them. And in that section, we're going to be talking about two pieces of legislation, Jeb Hensarling's 2011 legislation about GSE reform, and then the Corker-Warner proposal, and two papers and then two papers written by think tanks. So we're going to really, for the first time, compare and contrast what everybody is looking at in terms of how we restructure these institutions. And on that panel, we also have Scott Simon, who was from PEMCO. He's retired last month, and he's coming out of retirement to sit on this panel. Unbelievably insightful and controversial. And then Mark Willis from NYU, Jim Parrott, who's now at the Urban Institute. Jim was the White House housing czar. until about 6 months ago and was replaced with Seth Wheeler, who's currently in that position. And then, interestingly, we have Steve Horn from Wingspan Portfolio Advisors. He's actually come up with a GSE reform paper from a servicing perspective, which is interesting
wow.
because servicers have been absent in that debate. So there are going to be two final speakers coming on board, and both of them will be surprises. Then we go into the champagne debate. We go into demographics equal destiny.
For demographics, yeah, destiny, yeah.
Yeah. And so the reasoning for that is we've talked about mortgage origination, the constriction of credit. Then we've talked about GSE reform. And so now I want to know, based on demographics, what's the shortfall? How much of the industry are we going to be unable to address? And, of course, part of that is due to regulation. The other part of that is the bank's reluctance to lend and really
right.
having to prove ability to repay. So that's going to look at, wow, here's all this demand. We can't meet it. And then, of course, you know, the big reason for that is the champagne debate. Where has regulation gone too far versus where has regulation not gone far enough? And so that is three industry experts, so they represent the industry side, and then three on the consumer side, one of whom is Lori Maggiano, who was at Treasury and now at Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Eve Smith from Naked Capitalism, and then a
wonderful
third
blog.
Prize. So I had Amy Brandt and I co-host, Amy from Prospect Mortgage, we co-host this. Amy says, I can't be seen to be representing the consumer side. So that's my team. And we always start the champagne debate with a song. So my team gets to present their first song. So ours is, can you guess?
I've heard it. I know. I can't guess. I know. But go ahead. Tell the audience.
Big girls don't cry.
Yes.
So I'm trying to convince them to come back with, oops, I did it again. But I don't think they're going to do that. So anyway, so there's the debate. And then the next day, and I can kind of speed this up.
Yeah, I got literally 1 minute and 50 seconds to run through it. Yeah,
right.
Go ahead and run through it real quick.
Then we have Revenge of the Nerds, which is the use of big data in the industry. And we're going to talk about the National Mortgage Database.
Yeah.
And the Office of Financial Research Database, and then issues that are impacting investors and originators and servicers that have not been addressed. And then the last session will be what's the best investment in housing finance this year? Is it going to be buying NPLs, buying MSRs, creating a de novo originator, creating a de novo mortgage insurer, or pursuing single-family rental? So that is the AmeriCatalyst event, and then we have the Ginnie Mae Issuer and Investor Symposium, which they haven't done one of these since 2003, so that's a very
right.
big deal. And then we have the
Tuesday afternoon.
The Segway, yes, that's Tuesday afternoon, and then the Segway into Renting the Future, which is all about the emergence and evolution of single-family rental, and it's the who's who of that sector. How's my
it is good. It is just one of those conferences where just to go through the agenda. Just here's the reason I like going through that is because number one, it just really defines what we should be thinking about. Your agenda just causes you to think twice about, you know, what we should be doing. And folks, you need to get over to the AmeriCatalyst website, as Andy said earlier, to AmeriCatalyst.com, and the AmeriCatalyst-2013- just go to that event and then check out the program she just ran through, Tony just ran through, and then also the confirmed speaker. It is literally the who's who from around the world will be sitting here talking to us. And it's a stunning it is some of the greatest thinkers. So if there's any way you can make it out to this event and you say, Dave, you're promoting this conference. You know what I'm promoting? I'm promoting every person in this industry be intelligent and informed in what's going on. And it's so much you need to have your thoughts challenged. So Tony, I just want to get everyone to the conference. We're out of time. I just want to say thank you so much for coming here and being with us today and giving
Dave,
us a,
can I say one quick thing?
Yes.
People
yes.
are intimidated because it's invitation only. But if you go to our website, you can fill out a form to request an invitation. And we evaluate everybody. because,
good.
You know, depending on how much they convince us to come, we'll let them in. So.
Good. Well, they tell reference Lickin' on Lending. Lickin' said I had to be there, so the team said to be there. We had to. Tony, again, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And have a wonderful, get back to planning. I know how much I've screwed that up here, but being here with us today. Joe, give us a quick mark as we go out the door. Give us a quick update on the markets. It looks like they've just kind of fallen off a little bit on the price
side,
correct?
Yeah, they're a little lower. They're still up 7, so it's a good, not enough for unfavorable price changes, but off the highs.
Off the highs. Folks, have a great Labor Day weekend. Look forward to seeing you back. We are going to be broadcasting over Labor Day, doing a special broadcast. Tune in then. If you can't, otherwise download it later and listen to it. Appreciate you being part of the broadcast. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.